Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Foundry United Methodist Church. My name is Ginger Gaines Sorelli. I'm the senior pastor here. And on behalf of all of our pastors and staff, we're so glad that you're with us today. Whether you're in our sanctuary for worship or joining us today through live stream, you bless us, you strengthen us by your presence. Friends, we want you to know that no matter where you've come from today, and no matter where you go at the close of this service, no matter what you believe or doubt, no matter what you feel or don't feel today, no matter your immigration status, and no matter whom you love, you're welcome to come just as you are, to be met by our God who knows you by name and who loves you and wants to have an ever closer relationship with you. Welcome. We'll begin our celebration of worship this morning by singing together. It's in the red hymnal. Invite you to rise as you're able, number 126. Sing praise to God who reigns above.
To remain risen and turn to your worship bulletins to join in the call to worship. Praise the name of the Lord.
We give praise to God and bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good.
We sing to the Lord's name,
for the Lord is gracious. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. You, O God, support your people and have compassion on your servants. Praise the Lord. Sing praises to our God. You may be seated.
Friends, as we continue worshiping together this morning, we are so glad that you have chosen to be with us here at Foundry, and we hope that you know that whether you've been here 30 minutes or 30 years, there is a place for you here among us. We want to celebrate the fact that you're here with us today, and so I want to invite you now to look at the left end of your pews. You'll notice a black folder there. Take a few minutes now to go ahead and open that up, fill out the information there inside. If you are a first-time guest or visitor, we want to encourage you to fill out that visitor's information form so that we can follow up with you a little bit later in the week. You can tear that out and put it in the offering plate later in our worship time today. After worship, we also want to invite you all to join us for a time of fellowship and celebration immediately out the doors of our sanctuary and to the right in our community commons. There'll be coffee and abundant food, and as always, good conversation to be had. As we gather in worship this morning, too, let me draw your attention to that worship guide that you got when you came in. You'll find that there is a lot of information there about what's going on in the life of our church. We can't highlight it all today, but there are several things in particular we want to lift up as ways that you can connect to mission and ministry here. Today is the last day for children's Sunday school through this summer, childcare for children, infants, from infants to children 4 years old, and our every Sunday children's worship will continue each week. And so we give thanks for our Sunday school teachers and all that they've done as they prepare for some time away, and look forward to what they'll be doing when they come back to us this fall. Foundry Social Justice Ministries, an annual conference delegation, invite all who are interested to a town hall meeting this coming Tuesday on June 19th at 7 p.m., We'll gather in the Fellowship Hall, where we'll receive a report on this year's annual conference, including a time for a more formal response and continued opportunity to sign on to a letter regarding Bishop Easterling's decision to not allow a vote on LGBTQ candidates married to same-gender partners. Additionally, Bishop Easterling will host a holy conversation here at Foundry on June 24th at 1:30 p.m. We hope that all of you will plan to be present at that time as we gather for authentic and honest conversation with one another. Foundry's Management Board invites all of you who are present to attend our upcoming church conference on June 24th at 10:20 a.m. here in our sanctuary. We'll receive the board's annual report about all that's been going on in our midst, vote on slates for the Management Board and Nominating Committee's membership, and have a time for social justice teaching. All professing members are eligible to vote, and all who call Foundry home are welcome to come and be a part of that time of conversation. Friends, there's a lot of other information to be shared in that bulletin, so make sure you take that home with you and look at it throughout the week. But now we want to invite our senior pastor and clergy team to join us now for a time of sharing more information about stuff in the life of our church.
Thank you, Pastor Will. As Pastor Will just noted, there are a number of things happening here at Foundry in response to the actions of our bishop at the clergy session at our annual conference just a little more than a week ago. And so today we want to let you know about one piece of that in a little more detail and how you can participate in addition to those gatherings that you just heard about. Friends, this morning we posted an open letter to our bishop from Foundry Church in follow-up to her decision at annual conference. The full letter is on our website under recent news at the bottom of the homepage, so we invite you to take a look at that when you have time. And today we invite you to add your name if you feel so moved to do. And that letter is available in Community Commons after the service today. It will be delivered to Bishop Easterling on the 24th when she is here for the Holy Conversation. Again, just to remind us of what we are responding to, the bishop made a decision at annual conference in the clergy session not to allow a vote on two LGBTQ candidates who were coming forward, one of those being our own T.C. Morrow, who has been serving here at Foundry for 16 years. 16?
Next week, 16 years.
Next week, 16 years as a faithful servant leader. So this is what we're in part what we're responding to in addition to the larger issue. The letter we're inviting you to sign on to highlights our shared ministry with the bishop, Foundry's clear call to the work of full inclusion for LGBTQ people in the life of the church, and our deep disappointment with the bishop's decision. I want to share with you now just an excerpt from the letter. Now is the time when prophetic leadership is needed from bishops like you. The church cries out for guidance. If you believe the discriminatory language in the Book of Discipline is wrong, the church needs not only to hear that, but to see you act on that belief. Waiting to see what happens in February, which is referencing the special general conference that will happen in 2019, waiting to see what happens in February harms the church and harms LGBTQ United Methodists. The line that is being drawn in this debate is not between two equivalent camps in a theological debate. The only line that is being drawn is one that keeps LGBTQ people out of our church. When that line is drawn and leaders refuse to erase it or even to cross it, it damages LGBTQ people, Methodist or non-Methodist. It casts doubt on the message that everyone is welcome in the church universal, and it denies the truth that all people are of sacred worth. We need bishops who will boldly reject capitulation to bad church laws and instead start declaring in word and deed that discrimination against LGBTQ people is incompatible with Christian teaching. Again, you can read the full letter online, and you are invited to sign it after worship today if you are moved to do so. At this time, if you're a member of our LGBTQ advocacy ministry team or have worked on the letter to the bishop and our other response actions, I invite you to rise now so that others in the congregation might see who they can speak with to learn more about the process and our response. We have a team working really hard across many different areas to find a way that we as Foundry Church can continue to be the most faithful in this moment and as we move forward in advocacy for full inclusion. Thank you all very much. And at this time, we're going to invite our children to come and to help us transition into time with children. They're going to get us started with some singing. We're so glad to have you here today and for your ministry among us. Job. I want to invite now the rest of our children to come forward. Yeah, Juliana was ready to go from the get-go, so come on up. You ready to have some time together for children's message? Do we have some other folk? I saw a few of my other friends out there as we were gathering this morning. It's good to see all of you. Hey there, Josie. How you doing? Hello, everyone. All right, I'm going to go this way so I can talk to you a little bit. All right, now some of you were with me at the first service, so you're going to know what we're talking about today. But you might need to help us out a little bit, all right, if we get stuck. So I want to ask you a question. We have, in our bodies, we have five senses. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know what a sense is? Good morning. What is one of this? We have this gap here. That's where I was seated. You want to come sit up here, right? Fill in the gap. All right, how about this? Someone tell me, what is one of the five senses? Yep. Smell. What's another sense? Touch. Yep. What's another one? Yep. Seeing, your sight, yes. We've got smell, touch, seeing, hearing, and what's the other one? Taste, so your tongue, your mouth, blah, 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 right? Okay, so I want to ask you one more question. Do you think there is only one way to pray? Think there's only one way to pray? You're going to say no? You can pray in any position, that's right. So you don't just have to be sitting with your hands closed. You could be sitting with your arms out or your eyes open, all sorts of different ways to pray. I want us to think really quickly about how we might pray with our senses. So let's see if we, how do we pray? If you're going to use this sense of hearing, how do you pray using your sense of hearing? If you're using your ears, what are you listening for? Yep, Chloe. God. You're trying to listen for God, so you're hearing. You can listen for God, and that's a kind of prayer. That's a kind of prayer, is to listen for God. Now let's talk about touch. How do you suppose you can pray using your sense of touch? Going like this, that's a prayer posture. So that's one of the ways that we think about how we put our body so that we can be ready to pay attention to God in prayer, yep. Another way we can use our sense of touch is by reaching out to touch other people in ways that are supportive and kind, all right? So that when we serve people, we give them a hug and we share love, we are expressing the love of God, and that's another form of prayer. How about seeing? How do we pray with our eyes? What do you think? How do we pray with our eyes? Any thoughts? That's a little trickier. There are some places where they just look at a picture of Jesus, or they look at something that reminds them of the love of God, and they just look at it really deeply and closely, and that looking is a way that they connect with God. And so that too is a form of prayer. So we've done touch, we've done hearing, we've done looking. What's another one? Smell. How do you pray using your sense of smell? What do you think? Yep, like what? That's right. So you might smell something that makes you think of God, like maybe a candle that's gotten lit or just blown out. Some people, that will bring them to think about God. At the first service, somebody said that cake would be the way, which I thought was very biblical, because it does, in fact, in the Bible, talk about the sweetness of God. And so you smell something sweet, and that might remind you of God. Now, there's one we haven't talked about, and that is the sense of taste, our mouth. Now, what do you suppose our tongue and our mouth might have to do with? How do we use that for praying? Yep. When you dip the bread in the juice. There it is, people. When you dip the bread in the juice. That's right. You can taste the goodness of God. You taste the goodness of God. We use our mouth not just to taste, but also, what else do we do with our mouth? We talk. What else can you do with your mouth? Yep. You can talk out loud. That's right. What were y'all just doing before we came up? You were singing. You were singing. That's the other thing we can do. So you can talk to God and you can sing to God. All of those are ways to pray. All of these beautiful ways we can use our senses to pray. And we're going to pray right now, and then hold that thought and tell me later. All right? Promise? All right. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that it doesn't matter how we're seated or how we're standing, whether we're looking around or closing our eyes, whether we're smelling something sweet or listening to a beautiful thing or singing at the top of our lungs. All of these are ways that we can pray to you and be in your presence. We thank you for being close to us. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for exploring all of that with me today. It's great to see all of you. You're looking very sharp. And you can go back and be in your seats. We'll have children's worship in a little later if you want to do that.
Friends, one of the greatest gifts available to us when we gather in Christian community is the opportunity to ground ourselves in prayer. And remember indeed that no matter where we've come from or how we've come, we are not alone, and that God is with us. In addition to all of the things that you bring with you to this place today, for which you are in need of prayer, we ask that you expand the capacity of your hearts and hold in prayer both now and in the coming days John Ennis and Margaret Johansson, both of whom are in nursing care, Norman and Francis Prince, Leo Lawless, and Leslie Kirk, Susan Gundling, as well as people in areas affected by and recovering from natural disasters, and communities and families impacted by gun violence. We offer our continued prayers and support for our ASP team, both our youth and adult leaders, as they are in McGuffin County, Kentucky this week, helping make homes warmer, safer, and drier, and celebrate the marriage of Hillary Sama and Nicholas Wagner, who were married yesterday, June 16th. Hillary and Nick completed pre-cana here at the church, and our longtime, in their words, sitters in the balcony, or balcony sitters. Today we also celebrate the life of Patrick Corey at 12:45 here in our sanctuary and ask for your continued prayers for his partner Paul and friends and family, as well as offer a prayer of celebration and thanksgiving for Rosa Vega, our hospitality leader who turned 74 today. And now, friends, we know that there is much for which we are in need of prayer, so our prayer rails are open as we sing together now, I Love You, Lord, found on page 2068 of The Faith We Sing. Let us pray. Lord, we love you. We love you and we give thanks this day for all the many ways in which you have revealed and continue to reveal your love for us. On this Father's Day, we especially give thanks for those men who have parented us, for their compassion and care, their guidance and support, and the ways through which we encounter your love through theirs. May we embody the very best of what we've learned from them, even as we hold it in loving tension with the complicated relationships that exist between parents and children. Lord, we give you thanks too for the revelation of your love in the church, for this space in which we gather, for voices which sing when we cannot sing for ourselves and who pray for us when we cannot pray for ourselves, for beloved community that holds us, nurtures us, sends us, and cares for us. We give you thanks. Though its witness may be battered and broken by legalistic applications of church law, though it's in its work we often find ourselves awash in anxiety which binds us from seeing those you have called us to serve, though in our fear we content ourselves with building walls which divide and deny the beloved community Jesus proclaimed, we offer ourselves in hope this day and in trust that you are still at work in your church. Strengthen us for the living of these days. Ground us in your grace and love that we might be its beacons in the world. Help us to know and to name in ourselves the places where we have yet to grow, where we need to grow in order to be the people you've called us to be. And surround us with communities of love and support who challenge us, equip us, call us, and send us to serve in all of those places you will take us when we leave this place. We ask this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ as we remember the prayer he taught us to pray, saying, Our Mother, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we continue worshiping together this morning, hear these words of the prophet Isaiah, taken from the 49th chapter and beginning in the 8th verse. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. On a day of salvation I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people to establish the land, to portion the desolate heritages. Saying to the prisoners, come out. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the ways, on all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down, for he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will turn all my mountains into road, and my highways shall be raised up. Lo, these shall come from far away, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Zion. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult. O earth, break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continuing before me. Please remain seated as we join in singing Wonderful Words of Life, found on page 600 of the United Methodist Hymnal. As we continue worshiping together, hear these words from the letters to the Colossians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God. At this time, we invite our children in kindergarten through fifth grade to join their servant leaders at the front of the sanctuary for children's worship. For accessible accommodation, please see one of our ushers in the back of the sanctuary.
Thank you.
Thanks be to God. Last week, I took a few moments before sharing my reflections with you to lift up some of the important and exciting things that are happening in the life of Foundry Church to try to help us move through what is for us a pretty significant time of transition. So I want to take a moment today to continue some of that and to share some of that with you. Before I do that piece, though, I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege. Today, I have in the house really important people in my life. Mary Jane Vergeen is the woman who was the director, I don't remember what the title was at the time, but basically, she was Whitney. She was our Whitney. She was our Miss Whitney. At First United Methodist Church in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, who worked with the children and the families and really the programs of the entire church. She was my youth minister. She led ASP trips. She did all the things, as we say, and is one of the people I would say most responsible. For planting the deep seeds of faith and helping those seeds that had been planted by members of my family, really nurturing them and helping them grow. She was also extremely committed to leadership and to youth leadership, to helping us know how to be leaders in the church. And I think if my life is any witness to her life and her ministry, then I say you did that part well, because whether I wanted to or not, I seem to have ended up being a leader in the church. Mary Jane's here today with her husband, Jim, who, you know, behind every good woman, there's a man. But Jim was like another father to me. I grew up with him, too. And on this Father's Day, when my dad is no longer on this earth, it's such a gift to have him here as well. So I want to just invite them to stand that we might celebrate them. We're so glad to have them here. And one last little tidbit, because it's just so cool. So Mary Jane was consecrated a diaconal minister back when we did that sort of thing, and then became ordained a deacon when all the things changed. And the same night that I was ordained a deacon in the National Cathedral here in the Baltimore-Washington Annual Conference under the old rules, lo and behold, there was Mary Jane Vergeen completing that process. I hadn't seen her in years and years and years, and we walked into the National Cathedral together to both be ordained. God has always kept us close, and so I'm so grateful. Okay, whew, got that out. Gonna breathe it out. I'm gonna share a couple of highlights, and then we're gonna get to some reflections for the day. So here at Foundry, we are in the midst of pretty significant transition, of course. A couple of weeks ago, we blessed Pastor Dawn as she went forth and has gone forth to serve as a district superintendent in Western Pennsylvania Annual Conference. Her role for the last 4 years has been as executive pastor. So she's had a very broad overarching role here at Foundry Church. In the midst of the staff transition, and with the arrival of Pastor Malcolm Frazier on July the 1st, the role is going to be different. He is not coming to take on the role that Pastor Dawn played. I want us to be very clear about that. His role is going to be very focused. He will be an associate pastor, and his work will involve hospitality ministries, so all of our welcoming work on Sunday mornings, the way that we reach out and follow up with visitors, the way that we help welcome people into the life of the church and into full membership here at Foundry Church, that's going to be part of his work. He's also going to be working with congregational care, which includes pastoral care and all the ways that that takes shape. He will also be working with significant life transitions, so weddings, our pre-Cana ministry, baptism preparation, and funeral preparation and care. So all of those kinds of pieces are going to be critical to his work. His title is Director of Hospitality and Congregational Care. In addition to that, Pastor Will is not going anywhere, so no one panic, but Pastor Will is going to have a new title, so I don't want you to be confused or thrown off by that. His role is slightly shifting. When he came, he was doing the hospitality work, but with Pastor Malcolm's arrival, he's going to hand that off. So now Pastor Will's title will be Director of Discipleship Ministries, and he will focus on adult education, including our small groups and classes, and leadership development, which is a place he's going to really be putting a lot of energy in the months and years ahead. In addition to that, he'll be my right hand when it comes to worship planning, working closely with our music director, Stanley Thurston, and me. So that's going to be his role. His title is going to be, let's see if we've got it in our heads, he's going to be the Director of Discipleship Ministries. And Pastor Malcolm is not the executive pastor, but rather is going to be our director of, it's a long title, don't expect you to have it memorized, Director of Hospitality and Congregational Care. Hospitality and Congregational Care, all right? If you've seen things moving around in the building, that's because we're trying to get ready for all these new people and for the new ways that we're doing ministry. So please don't be alarmed. We're making some shifts to make things look better and feel better and work better for our shared life. Whew. Okay. I invite you to now pray with me if you feel so moved. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. On me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Those who sing pray twice. It's a phrase that I've heard here and there for years, but I never knew where it came from until this past week when I looked it up. And what I learned is that those are words adapted from the 5th century bishop, St. Augustine. Y'all are going to start thinking that I'm obsessed with him, or that it's like too much influence from my spouse, Anthony, who's been teaching, for those of you who don't know, has been teaching a course on St. Augustine here at Foundry. Anyway, it seems that after a little research, what I learned is that Augustine's point seems to be that singing adds an extra dimension to a text. It is the idea that words that are sung rather than only spoken express a depth of meaning and emotion that cannot be conveyed otherwise. This isn't a new idea. It's actually a very ancient concept that music conveys meaning. Many of you know, perhaps, that the myths of the most ancient indigenous cultures claim that the universe began with one root sound, which permeates the entire universe. According to the ancient Vedic Hindu philosophy, the Sanskrit word, who knows the word? Om. Or I was taught to pray it, to say it correctly, Aum. Aum. That word is the sound from which the whole universe emanated. That's the philosophy. It represents, in that way of thinking, the divine, the absolute, that sound. The idea then is, if we begin to make that sound, then we become connected to the divine through sharing in the sound. We become connected, or we become aware of our connection to God and to all that is in the creation. Indigenous and religious cultures from around the world have, over centuries, developed their own unique chants and songs. Songs of joy unite people in that spirit. Narrative songs teach the stories of tribal identity and relational values. And repetitive chants are used to focus and to quiet the mind. Stories are told, I discovered, how the Muslim sung call to prayer, called the Adhan, have brought about conversions simply through the power of hearing it sung. Psalms, which is our Judeo-Christian chant and hymn book in the Bible, are the lyrics of prayers to God. They're the lyrics of meditations on God, and they were written to be sung or chanted. Both listening to and singing certain kinds of music and chants are known to have concrete effects upon our bodies. And this isn't just about someone sitting in a lotus position chanting Om. Just think for a moment about what happens when all of a sudden you hear music or you begin to sing something and all of a sudden you are moved to tears. Or think about those moments when you've heard a song and its rhythm and beat doesn't allow your body to sit still. There's just no way you're going to be able, you're just going to take a strong constitution with some music to just sit there and not have some kind of, you know, movement. You got to do something. It's in your body. The music gets in your body. All of this is to say that music has a kind of spiritual power. It's one of the most ancient forms of connecting to God, of being in relationship with God. It's one of the most ancient forms of prayer. And as we continue to ponder how we might return to God's pace through prayer in this A Tempo series, I want to focus today on this idea of singing as a form of prayer. One of the prayers that I've loved from my youth is referred to as the Prayer of St. Francis. It's included in our United Methodist hymnal on page 481. The words of this prayer are so powerful. I know them well. I've been praying them since I was a young child. But some years back, I heard these words set to music by the singer-songwriter Sarah McLachlan. And my heart broke open all over again at the power of the words. Something happens when words and music work together to express or to carry a message. Now, some might imagine that only a professional singer will be able to create or participate in such a powerful and even mystical phenomenon. But every time we gather for worship, every time we gather for worship, we are singing prayers. Last fall, we spent a whole series calling to mind the ways that singing together is a central part of worship in our United Methodist tradition. And in another series on grace, we noticed the headings in the top corners of our hymnal's pages that help signal the theological or spiritual theme of the hymns that are part of that section. And today I want us to explore the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that we may have sung for years, but have never mentally connected with prayer. And for those of us, by the way, who are new to this whole Christian worship thing, my hope is that our reflection on this central act of worship and the idea of prayer through singing will help you understand why we do this and why we Methodists talk about singing and sing so much. And by the way, if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I don't have a great voice, I can't carry a tune, fear not. Because the Bible is very clear that it encourages us to make a joyful noise. It doesn't say anything about making a beautiful noise. So you're all good. You're all good. No worries. We're inclusive here. Amen. Our text today begins with the encouragement to let the word of God dwell in you richly. Singing is such a great way to do that. I can't help but think of my Nana, my grandmother on my mother's side, floating around the house humming and singing hymns. She would just do it all day long. You could just feel the word of God through the music. She was just soaking in it. It was dwelling in her richly. Singing is a great way to learn things. I probably learned most of my core theology through the songs I sang as a child and as a youth. And I got to call out Jim and Jean Strathdy, who Mary Jane had us singing. I've tried to get other kids who are in this age to sing those folk songs, and they just don't get it, but whatever. Amazing theology is all I'm saying, like really good justice theology that helped me figure out who God was and how to be in the world in a way that was healthy and whole. So those songs formed me. It's like singing and learning the words that helps us learn things. Singing songs that have been sung in historic moments of struggle. Those songs and chants of the civil rights freedom marches, for example, or for some of us here, perhaps the songs that have been sung for years at reconciling events. Singing those songs helps connect us to the movement and to God's presence in the movement over time. Some of our hymn lyrics in our hymn books are statements of faith, their testimony. Others of them are proclamations of hope or a call to action. Singing those kinds of hymns invites us to contemplate, to think about, and to learn the promises of our faith, the providence of God, and the call of God on our lives. These hymns plant the word of God deep within us. They teach us, and they draw us close to God and are a form of prayer. But there are some hymns, I realized a while back, that are not just prayers because they help us draw close to God, but they are literally talking to God. So many of the hymns that I grew up praying all the time are direct addresses to God. Now, I am not really sure how I missed this detail. Perhaps some weird disconnect between, oh, these are the songs that I sing at church, and these are the prayers that I pray elsewhere. But when I really recognized that these things are connected, it was truly a revelation. I had made that initial connection before I arrived here at Baltimore Washington Annual Conference, but I have to say that it was here that I encountered for the first time the tradition of using the words of hymns as public prayers. I will never forget hearing the then bishop of the Baltimore Washington Conference pray before he preached with these words, "Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine." Now that's a hymn. Do you know that hymn? It's a good hymn. I had never heard it done that way. And I thought to myself, oh my. It was then that I began to really think about praying the hymns and about singing my prayers. I wonder if there are hymns or songs that come to your mind that are examples of what I'm talking about. It doesn't take much to flip through the hymnal and recognize how true it is. There are prayers of invocation like that we sang together. Spirit of the living God is a prayer of invocation. Another one is open the eyes of my heart. There are prayers of lament. Nobody knows the trouble I see. There are prayers of petition, asking for God to help us, to come to us, to provide for us, to give us what we need, to respond. Things like, I need thee every hour. Love divine, all loves excel. Did you know that love divine, all loves excelling is a prayer? Think about the words. Breathe, oh breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find our second rest. Take away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be. We're talking to God. And we're asking God to be with us, to help us, to give us what we need. There are prayers of praise, so many prayers of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, how great thou art. Blessed be your name. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Those are all direct addresses of praise to God. There are prayers of confession, O sacred head, now wounded just as I am. Without one plea. There are prayers of commitment and surrender, like here I am to worship and here I am, Lord. And there are prayers of thanksgiving for the beauty of the earth, and great is thy faithfulness. It's not great is thy faithfulness. It's not that we're just talking about God as we sing that hymn. We're not sort of imagining what God is like. We are directly praying to God. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. New mercies I see. All I've needed, thy hand has provided. Praying as we sing. Think about what it's like when the music in this sanctuary draws all of us in and we raise our voices together. There's something mystical about it. It's a deep form of communal prayer. Throughout the Bible, we're not only encouraged to sing to the Lord, but we're given whole books of songs. We're encouraged to pray. And at key moments, we see people break into song. I realized as I was reflecting on all of this that it's like one long musical in the old style, the Bible. Dialogue, 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 then someone starts singing. It's true. There's Miriam's song of praise to God for liberation from slavery. There's Israel's thanksgiving for God's provision of water in the wilderness. There's the fight song of Deborah, the great prophetess and judge. There's David's songs of praise and the prophet Isaiah's songs of judgment and victory and praise. There's the prophet Zephaniah's song of joy and Mary's song of praise, what we know as the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Friends, within the Bible, within the Psalms, within our own collections of songs and spiritual hymns, you'll find every emotion, grief, rage, joy, need. The words are there, and we're blessed with some melodies. So I encourage you, no matter where you find yourself, use the resources of our faith. Pray the hymns. Sing your prayers. Connect with God and others through the power and the cosmic resonance of music. Because prayer is the heart of our spiritual life. And when you sing, you pray twice. Thanks be to God.
As someone who makes a joyful noise, I am very glad that all are welcome here at Foundry United Methodist Church. Your gifts help us celebrate times of transition and growth in the life of young people here at Foundry, like our graduation recognition on Sunday, July 8th. If you have not already submitted the names of graduates along with a photo and their school and degree to Miss Whitney, please do so by this evening. As our ushers collect our tithes and offerings, please give generously as God so generously blesses and equips us.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Upon the mountain my Lord spoke, out of his mouth came fire and smoke. Looked all around me, it looked so fine, till I asked my Lord if all was mine. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Jordan River is chilly and cold. It chills the body, but not the soul. There ain't but one train upon this track. It runs to heaven and right back. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I'll pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, moving in my heart.
Multiply these gifts, O God, for kingdom building. Amen. I invite you to remain risen and turn to the thin black hymnal, The Faith We Sing, and we will join together in number 2034, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord.
Glory to the name of the Lord.
friends, a reminder that if you would like to do so, there are copies of the open letter that you are invited and encouraged to sign as members of this congregation. Those are available in the community commons, and again, if you're able to stay and share some fellowship, we hope that you will do that as well. We also have ministers of prayer who are available with you, who are here at the front of our sanctuary. We invite you to come as would serve you today. We know it's been a really kind of rough week. And so in addition to that and all the things that we have come with today, whatever would be helpful to pray with, they're here for you. So please come as you feel led. And now I'll send you forth with this benediction for today. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. The sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, May God hold you in the palm of God's hand. Go in peace. Go in power. Amen.